there. It's your old pal Dangle Waterbrush. Welcome, one and all, to Radio Oregon Trail, the first newfangled talk box showgram of a podcast that plays Oregon Trail with the thrills that only the speed of a bi-weekly show with a listener mail-in response campaign can offer. Each week, we bring you the continuing adventure of the daring carpetbagger you done created, and which and y'all have chosen the name Blacksmith Face. Each episode, we bring you the story so far, and then merrily progress to the next bit where you'uns get to decide. Let's visit in with Blacksmith Face in Episode 7, The Storms of Brewing, right now.
Last time, our blacksmith face made the critical decision to purchase 69 pounds of food at Matt's General Store, immediately after buying 69 boxes of bullets. Now, young blacksmith face has elected to ask Matt about sets of clothing. Dust catches the light streaming in through the high windows of the Tecumseh Ridge store, causing glints in the air and giving the high-ceilinged, wide shop a gritty, almost textural feeling. Outside, you can hear the clopping of shoed nags in the adjacent stables of the local inn and whorehouse. The air is thick with the scent of oxen, tallow, and unwashed carpetbaggers. Matt, an avuncular, if rheumatic, old shopkeep from Round Boston Way, says with a greedy glint in his eye, "Y'all need good warm clothing, especially for the mountains. I recommend taking at least 2 sets of clothing per person. You'll need ammunition, too. Each box of ammunition contains 20 bullets." Matt pauses and looks at you expectantly. Spare sets of clothing can be purchased for $10 each, with a max carrying capacity of 50. You still have $420 in the bank. Will Blacksmith Face purchase spare sets of clothing? How many? The choice is yours.
Well, folks, that's about it for this episode of Radio Oregon Trail. Will Blacksmith Face make the right call? Ooh, I'm about as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room that's a microwave. Remember, y'all just send your answers via mail only to the following obviously fake address. 123 Anytown Boulevard Street, Duckburg, USA, zip code. We'll see you next month on Radio Oregon Trail.
I don't know why you're such a defensive baby about doing the intros. I can do an intro. Listen to me. I'm doing it right now. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Afterthought. It's the podcast where we talk about the thing that we just did, and then we answer your questions, and everything's great. Except for Jeff. Jeff sucks.
We never talk about the thing we just did. We specifically avoid talking about it.
Nah, man. We talk about it. We talk about it at length. We're like, hey, man, we just did stuff.
I'm inclined to disagree with you, sir. But then again, I am pleased with the quality of your intro.
Yeah, it's so good. No flaws. Nothing. Smooth. Like a baby's bottom. And I know.
I'm a connoisseur of baby's bottoms.
Yeah, I subscribe to Baby's Bottom Weekly.
Oh, it's a weekly publication.
No, it's just Weak Baby Bottoms.
Oh, okay. Weak and then Lee. So there's all these babies named Lee that have weak bottoms.
Yeah, Weak Bottom Baby Weekly.
Wow. How often does it come out?
About every year.
Oh, so it's a yearly.
Yeah.
It's a yearly weekly
publication. It's an annual. It's an annual weekly bottom. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I don't either. This is a horrible line of discussion.
This is the worst intro ever.
I'm glad I let you do it then. I've dodged a bullet.
All right. I'm John. That's Jeff. It's Afterthought time. We usually have a topic of the week that pertains to the game that we just reviewed, and we did just begin part one of Rifts.
Rifts.
Riftis.
Yes.
Rifties.
Yes, the Palladium Classic Rifts.
Yes. Man, it's real hard to say that without thinking you sound like an idiot.
Oh, it's a microphone
thing.
Because
you want to get that T in there.
Yeah.
But you don't want to sound like Rifts.
Yeah, you don't want to say riffs. You don't want to say rift.
You're not like rifts.
Yeah, you have to get that. You have to hit the S once, and you have to know that no matter how you do it, it's going to come across on a podcast like you just said, riffs.
Riffs.
Like, it sounds like you just spit all over the pop filter. That's,
yeah, which
that's,
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, on purpose.
Right.
It likes it.
Damn it. All right. So I'm not even sure we really need to talk all that much about riffs. I mean, we literally already have an Afterthought episode called Rose-Colored Glasses.
I know, right?
Which is the only explanation for why we are raving about that thing.
Plus, I got a real good topic, but I'm going to save it for part two.
Oh, part duh?
Part the good one.
Ooh, can you want to give me a hint? I have no idea what your really good topic is.
Oh, yeah. It's called Making It Up.
You don't actually have anything. I had no idea.
My God, I've been found out. Away! <right.
laughs> Crap, now I got to do this alone. Maybe a random stranger will just enter the room and join me for the back half of the podcast instead.
Hello. No, we're not doing that. What is this, Comedy Bang Bang?
No, we're not Comedy Bang Bang. We're not. You know, there's other characters on Comedy Bang Bang besides Andrew Lloyd Webber and Little Orphan Forville, right?
No, there is no one else to me. That's all that there is.
All right. So what we can talk about, I guess, is that we were just at a convention for about 3 hours.
Yeah, thereabout. I mean, definitely in the area for at least 2 days of it, but attended for about 3 hours.
So here's a trip report from System Mastery on the wonders of Kubla Khan.
Trip report.
We should probably play a real trip report theme. It'll go right here.
Trip report.
God damn it. Fine, I'm leaving in your new one there.
Yeah,
but I'm going to put a whole bunch of stuff behind it and edit it and change the pitch and play it in reverse so it sounds like you're saying, like, suck Satan's dick.
But I say that anyway. Why would you need to mess with anything?
All right, John, why don't you give us our new trip report theme then?
Suck Satan's dick.
There you go. That's the one. We're sticking with that. Cut, print.
Nailed it.
That's perfect. So let's start off this by saying that the Kubla Khan is a fine convention run by folks up in whatever neighborhood that is.
It's in the
Burlingame?
Burlingame, which is sort of San Jose-ish, sort of San Francisco-ish. It's right around there.
Yeah, it's sort of San Jose, sort of San Francisco, but you don't get a very good meal out of it. You end up real sleepy for the rest of the day. Plus, there's a lot of melon.
So much melon.
Anyway. Kubla Khan is a fine convention that we did not adequately prepare for, and so...
Yeah, we did not. Normally, for these conventions, as we shouldn't have known, but did not because we don't go to them, you would normally sign up for things in advance. So you'd find, say, you really want to play Call of Cthulhu. You'd find someone who's running a Call of Cthulhu game, you'd sign up for it, and then you would have a slot in that game.
Yes. Or if you're us and you're supposedly a media content provider that is supposed to be a cut above the average person who shows up at these conventions, and the sort of person who would actually put on a show for everyone and run a couple of games and run a whole table of interesting things, then, you know, you'd sign up for all that nonsense in advance.
Yeah, you'd have to tell the convention, hey, I'd like to run a thing. Please give me an area to do so.
Right. So what we did instead of that was nothing?
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah.
So we just went up there and we're like, hey, we're two big-time celebrities.
Yeah.
We're huge names in the business. I'm sure that when we get there, there will be a fanfare already, and they will just usher us into the throne room, whereupon we shall hold court.
Indeed. While we are suckled.
Honeysuckled.
Yes, indeed. While people throw sprigs of honeysuckle upon us.
Yes.
As is our wont.
But instead what happened is we got a wristband, walked around the vendor area, signed up for the shuffler they have, where if you aren't signed up for anything, you can ask to be possibly shuffled into a game, didn't get put into any game, and then just left and got food.
Well, don't forget, we also sat in a area where we were able to find a couple of seats for a while, met one fan who was very nice and came out and met us.
Yes.
Did not play any games.
No.
Considered the big rack of Chessex dice that they always have at those things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just love getting my hands in that bin full of dice. It's like when you're at the grocery store and they got that bin full of dry beans. Mm-hmm. Man, you just want to dive right into that shit like Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how I always feel whenever I encounter a large rack of dice.
Yeah.
Or in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to get in there and root around.
Yeah.
And consider the dice. And one of the things we learn right away is that we do have very obvious dice preferences.
I don't buy shiny things.
I don't buy dice anymore unless they're pink or purple. I'm not sure what happened to me.
Yeah, I am basically a magpie. And that anything that is shiny will catch my attention and I'll get it.
Oh, yeah. You were collecting glittery D10s.
Oh, yeah.
That you were like, never going to buy.
No. I had a whole cup full of the same just 10 place D10.
Yeah. And they were all like the same dark blue cerulean color that it looked like you were trying to build one of those bowerbird nests out of them.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You were going to put them all in a big pile and then just strut back and forth in front of it like, hey, ladies, I can make several eggs pregnant.
Eh?
I got this.
Eh?
Who wants some of this action? Oh, shit, that guy's got even more blue stuff than me. This will not stand.
Yep.
And after a while, we just gave up and left.
That is exactly what we did.
So we had a great time in the Bay Area, though, if you're really curious to hear about our awesome trip report of that. As soon as we abandoned the convention, we went to Berkeley and got a hot dog from the cool socialist hot dog place.
I don't even want to qualify that with where we went. It's just we went to Berkeley and got a hot dog. That's just a great adventure to be on.
That's not helpful. I love that restaurant. I really want other people to go to them.
Oh yeah, you should go if you're ever in the Bay Area to Top Dog. Top Dog, sponsors of System Mastery.
They wouldn't sponsor shit. They're literally like a little socialist establishment. They have all this literature on the walls and they won't serve Coke because that's too capitalist.
Oh, yeah. They once set up a store down here in Southern California, and that closed down real quick because apparently no one down here cares about hot dogs.
Yeah. That said, best hot link I've ever had.
Oh, my God. Their chicken apple sausage, so good.
Yeah. So if you're ever in the Berkeley area, check out Top Dog. Also, the local Berkeley game store, which was very nice and was much more fun to hang around in. And we played the Game of Life while we were in there.
We played the Game of Life, which was missing several cards, all of the insurance cards that you can get. The the board itself
mm-hmm.
had the holes punched wrong so that you couldn't set up the little like bridges and
mm-hmm.
hillways between things. It was amazing, and I loved every second of it.
Me too, but only because I kicked your ass.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I'm so good at the Game of Life, which is the least interactive game I think I've ever played.
Oh, yeah. No, there is nothing going on. In the Game of Life, it's just, hey, you keep spinning this and eventually you'll get to the end and so will everyone else.
You'll either win or lose.
Welcome to life. You just keep going around and it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing as long as you're doing it.
It's something just keeps smacking you in the face over and over again.
This fucking cat. Just slapping me in the face with its tail.
Podcat 2 is attacking John most vigorously with her tail at the moment.
Ugh.
That's Podcat 2, by the way, a cat that has never been mentioned on the show before, but is in here all the time.
Oh, yeah. This Podcat loves me so much.
She really loves John. And we're at my house. I mean, normally she really loves me, but she has a special place in her heart for John. So, anyway. So, otherwise, great time in the Bay Area. One other thing I wanted to mention about being up there. We went to a Star Wars-themed karaoke bar.
Yeah. So, all the drinks, you had a bunch of selections for Star Wars named mixed drinks.
I was a huge fan of the Slave Leia personally because it was cherry flavored, and that's kind of the thing I'm a sucker for.
Yeah, that is definitely my Jenga jam.
Yeah, so that was awesome. That was a bar called the Seven Stars in San Jose. Totally worth checking out if you're ever in the area. That was, again, something we did that we instead of going to the convention like we were supposed to.
Yes. Continually doing other things but go to conventions.
Exactly. So that being said, if you ever want us to come to your area and not attend a convention while one's happening, let us know where it is and how we can get there and the things we will do instead of going to it.
Yeah, guys, go ahead and go on to our Patreon. Please support us so that we can get enough money to go to Gen Con and then just fuck around the city.
Fuck around Indianapolis.
Come on, just tell us what the cool things to do in Indianapolis are. We'll go do those instead.
By the time we can finally afford to go to Gen Con, I swear to you what I'm going to do is get there, we'll hang around for 3 hours, and then we'll fucking catch a plane to Berkeley to get a Top Dog.
That's what we're doing. That's the new Patreon goal, is we'll get several million in Patreon, a private jet, and then no matter where we go, we always go to Top Dog.
Tiny hot dog stand in Berkeley, California.
excellent. This is the best plan. Nothing can go wrong with it. I am sure our listeners and supporters are well pleased.
A tale of your Patreon money well spent.
You knew what this was going in.
Don't feel too bad. We recorded like 2 live episodes while we were there.
Oh, yeah. We got work done.
Yeah, we literally set up in a house and we recorded 1 more game of Dr. Magnet Hands. Then we tried for 2, but everyone was way too drunk. Then we then we sobered up for a bit and recorded a secret, which I do not want to spoil yet.
Shh.
But let it be known, it's an hour long, or longer, I forget, live play episode of something that is not Dr. Magnet Hands.
Oh, yeah. Get ready. Prepare yourself. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be hidden behind a paywall somehow. We're still not sure how we're going to suck money out of you people, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, don't you worry. We're gonna put it up exclusively on the Something Awful forums.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's a Danganronpa live play RPG.
Yep, that's what's going to happen.
There's a joke that about a third of our audience got.
Yay. Good job, everyone. Look it up. Danganronpa.
Christ. Anything else you wanted to say about the big trip?
Everything was great. Everyone was great. We got peach cobbler, everyone.
Oh,
we did
fuck.
It.
I completely, yeah, we really got to talk about
Hang that fucking banner up. Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
We got it.
A listener was so zealous in pursuing us and meeting with us, even though we had long since fucked off from the convention entirely, that he sent his wife to the house that we were at recording to get us peach cobbler.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Also, that peach cobbler, delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah, no. Everything was wonderful.
It was pure coincidence, though, because his wife happened to be friends with the host of the family that we were staying at. They were friends with those people, and so it was all sheer coincidence, and they brought us peach cobbler.
Yep.
And then we went and hung out in, like, Oakland and stuff and had 8 duck hearts.
Yeah, just ripped them straight out of them. We went to Lake Merritt, found ducks, and Kali Maud those motherfuckers.
Also, I had the most amazing curry fries I've ever had.
Also, I've never had curry fries.
No, I've had curry fries before. That was not my first curry fries experience. It was just my best.
This was not my first curry fries rodeo.
Usually curry fries is a British thing, and it's just sort of Indian brown goo sauce on chips. You know, and it's just there's peas and crap in there. This was Thai Massaman curry on fries, and it was fucking bonkers good. I'm cursing more than usual, aren't I? I gotta tone it in.
Come on, rein it in.
Also, tone it in.
Yeah, tone it in.
You can tell I'm tired when the similes get all like that.
These similes are all like that. Good job. You did it. You found it. You made your way through the desert of similes, and you found an oasis right there.
There's a time. I feel like I need a full week's respite from the trip before I can podcast again. I think that's probably true.
Yeah, probably.
This one, I'm going to go ahead and clarify that this episode of Afterthought is advanced listening.
Yeah, no, only the most advanced listeners will be able to follow this one.
Not even advanced, but just dedicated. This is like one of those bootleg live track recordings of a Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah, no, this is definitely John and Jeff, great show, awesome job.
Spaghetti.
Well.
Christ, do you want to answer some questions?
I mean, we may as well. Let's dig on into that
mailbag. That is what we do here.
Let's do it.
Let's get into the mailbag.
Yeah, getting into the mailbag. Open up that bag and let it out all over your face. It's mailbag, mailbagging.
What's happened? Okay. Are we done? Is that...
Oh.
Damn it.
You shouldn't have asked.
And now 3 encores.
Woo!
Okay, here we go. First question comes to us from an actual, factual talking bear.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. System Mastery, I've heard the two of you go to great lengths about how much you hate 70s movies on several episodes of Afterthought. This is usually followed by a list of notable exceptions, usually Star Wars, but that list never includes the great American film 1976's Rocky. Due to this great injustice, I have one simple question for you. Why do you love the zoo?
Well, I love the zoo, especially in San Diego, because I love walking up and down hills all goddamn day.
Yeah, seriously, the San Diego Zoo, if you go there and you don't take like the SkyTram and a bus ride, you feel at the end of the day like you should fucking get to meet an old wise man who tells you one question or answers one question for you.
Oh, yeah. I definitely should become the new Sorcerer Supreme after hanging around the San Diego Zoo all day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it is just canyons.
Ugh.
With cool animals all over it. So that's nice.
I mean, technically there are animals there, but mostly you're just staring at the ground and breathing heavily and being a fat guy. I mean, at least that's what I'm doing.
Desperately hoping that you find one of those giant escalators that they have all over there.
Oh, yeah. Finally finding something that will ease the pain of your existence and move you.
Haul your bulk so that you do not have to any further.
Yes.
Perhaps a lemonade stand will sell you a frozen lemonade, but it will not dull your leg pain.
Yes. My HP and MP are restored.
But you don't feel any better. Oh, my gosh. So, fair enough. That's why we like the zoo, because we hate it. I love the fucking zoo. I love going up and down hills to see all kinds of oryxes and binturongs and Jeffrey's tree kangaroos.
Well, yeah, of course. They're your tree kangaroos.
Yeah, those are my tree kangaroos, god damn it.
I particularly enjoy seeing any of the larger, weirder animals, or just hanging out where the reptiles are. Like, yeah. That's basically it.
Reptile zone is a pretty chill area.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice part of the San Diego Zoo. They got that cool kind of snake house.
Yeah, I love the snake house, and they got a big old Komodo dragon in there.
Sure do. And then they also have that section for the tortoises, those giant fuck-off Galapagos tortoises that you can clearly just sit on and have them carry you around.
Oh, yeah.
Those are cool to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Those are awesome. Plus, every once in a while, they open up with some kind of massive reptile sphincter and discharge pee streams that are as thick around as a beer can. It's just giant foamy yellow darts. Just poof. You're like, fuck yeah, reptile pee. That's the best.
Yes. Of all the pee, definitely the best.
Did we actually want to talk about that first part of the question and how we never remember to mention Rocky? Do you remember the last time you even saw Rocky?
Never. It was never.
You've never seen Rocky?
No.
Well, there you go. Maybe you don't know whether or not you hate that movie. It's not bad. I mean, it's actually one of the cooler movies that I've seen because the main character loses in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Cool Runnings.
Yeah, it's a lot like Cool Runnings.
It's a big ripoff of Cool Runnings, is what I'm saying.
Well, I understand that it is a remake of Cool Runnings that they made 15 years earlier.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to get across here.
It was like 20 years earlier.
Huge ripoff of Cool Runnings.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like, it's got sports, it's got a coach.
Yeah, there's
they
definitely
lose at the end.
There's a coach. I'm pretty sure there's a bobsled in Rocky IV.
Probably.
I don't see why not.
I'm pretty sure that's what he lifts to train.
Probably. Rocky IV is amazing. It purports that the American has to train the old-fashioned way by hauling around farm equipment and punching meat, but the Russian guy is trained by, like, a supercomputer.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
A little backwards in terms of what the actual world was like at that time.
No, but that perception of, like, American ingenuity, and we're good old farm boys, and we'll get things done the old-fashioned way, and then, oh, those crazy Russians, they're all techno-babbly.
Yeah, it was like Russian terrifying science nerds. That was a weird, not to mention that the side character in Rocky IV, his cousin or Polly or brother Polly or whatever the fuck that character
Polly Walnuts.
Yeah, Polly owns a robot in Rocky IV. Rocky IV has a robot in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a very interesting robot.
It just controls your Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's almost like a giant Gyromite, yeah. Or Bob the Robot, or Laserface, as I like to call him.
Robbie
the Robot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing you used to see in like, 80s toy magazines and desperately want for yourself.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Like, oh, man, that robot knows 3 commands and can carry a Pepsi in his claw.
Oh, man. Once I go into the future and I don't know how it happened because an alien stole me and I'm in a NASA base, I'm going to want that robot to give me a Pepsi before I... It's a Flight of the Navigator joke.
Flight of the Navigator joke.
It's Flight of the Navigator.
There it is. I do not leak, you leak, remember.
Great.
Okay, good. We've got it all over our system. Little 3-appendaged alien that's super cute and wants a berry. Remember that guy? That guy was the best.
Yeah. Fucking who didn't want one of those? Why didn't they make a plush one of those?
Dude, the one-legged weird little alien berry-eating monster from Flight of the Navigator is the ultimate plush toy.
Dude, I want that, and I want the little flying guy from Captain EO. That's
perfect,
all I want.
Yeah. Kind of like a cross between Gizmo and an elephant.
No, not the elephant one. I want the little flying guy. The guy who's basically just a fur ball with fairy wings.
Yeah, so basically he's a Furby, except he has like little fairy wings that are also his ears. I'm kind of remembering that character.
Yeah, because there's also the blue elephant.
Okay, sure enough, yeah. All right. So anyway, that's a good 10 minutes spent answering one question.
Hey, well, you wanted us to wax nostalgic about old movies, so there you go.
You win. Next question comes to us from Larry H., and he says, what are the worst things you've done to people when you had jobs in fast food or customer service? The problem here is that we're both kind of nice guys.
Yeah. Like, the worst thing I've done is actually do my job by the rules, and that's about it. We're like, if someone was pissing me off and they're like, I want a discount, and I go, you know, I could actually probably technically give you one, but I'm not going to because you're a jerk.
Yeah, and I think I've told my big story on the air before. I don't remember for sure. The thing about the waterfall?
I don't know.
So I'll go ahead and tell it. And listeners, super advanced listeners who are still with us because this show is long and meandering, if you've already heard this story, skip ahead slightly. Or listen to it again because I was making it up the first time, so there might be new nuances. Just kidding. This is all real. Here we go. I used to work at SeaWorld. I was a ride operator. And the ride I worked on was the one that had the like inner tubes. And so there's this rotating platform at SeaWorld that you get on and off these inner tube rides, this inner tube ride, and it kind of takes you on a little lazy river around the park, and you get to see turtles from up close. And a couple times you get splashed by various like water contraptions. There's one part where you go through a little waterfall into a cave. Now, the waterfall looks all terrifying and torrential, but right as you approach it, it switches to like a drizzle so that you don't get completely soaked. And that's handled by some kind of mechanism that the track does. It knows when the boats are going by, and so it lessens the flow. There is a lifeguard tower about 50 yards behind that zone. If you're on the boat, you'd never see it because you're looking forward and it's back behind you somewhere, up high. In that lifeguard tower, to which I was often assigned, there is a little button that you can press. And as long as you are holding down that button, the waterfall does not lessen as boats approach it. Instead, it just stays on full torrent, 50 hoses at once, blast level. So I have no idea why that button was there. It doesn't seem like a useful function to allow dumb kids to operate.
Oh, yeah. No, that seems like something like, I don't know, maybe it's to wash out one of the boats, maybe?
Or the jets that control the waterfall system, or for testing purposes or something. But anyway, what it turned into was there was a radio that every one of the people carried, and if you loaded one of your friends or teachers or something onto a boat, then you would call the person at Tower 2 and say, drench boat 35. And then when boat 35 would come along, you'd press a little button, and the people in it would switch from happy people who are enjoying a ride to angry people whose cell phones are broken. Because it was literally like just being underwater.
Great.
Yeah, so that is the one thing I ever did that was especially mean to people, was press a little button that made it so that they were just completely drenched, just submerged entirely in chlorinated super water.
Awesome.
So there you go. There's my story. I did that a couple of times because I thought it was hilarious. Okay, let's move on. Next question comes to us from that question was from Larry H. Next question comes to us from Clark Ashton, who says, holla, is there any delivery order you can make at Domino's that doesn't make you feel like a fat pig or right-wing stooge?
No.
Yeah, actually, isn't it? Domino's is, you know, basically shit cardboard pizza that doesn't taste all that amazing.
No, it got better.
It got better, but it wasn't like it was starting from an amazing point.
No. I mean, honestly, I still put it way above Pizza Hut.
Yeah, of course, because Pizza Hut is like a butter sponge upon which has been placed sauce that is sweeter than ketchup.
Yep.
It is unholy. There's nothing okay about it. The only thing about Pizza Hut that's of any interest whatsoever is their innovation in ways to enable fat fucks.
Oh, my God. So recently, they put out the bacon-loaded stuffed crust.
Yes.
So that there's bacon inside your mozzarella sticks inside your crust.
See? That's exactly what I'm talking about. The pizza tastes gross, but at least it's like a center for technological innovation.
Also, they have the s'more dessert, and that's basically just they already offered a chocolate chip cookie, and all they did was put some marshmallows and crumble up some graham crackers on top of it.
Yeah, why not? Go nuts.
There you go.
I mean, it's only going to be another month or two before they also crumble bacon on that one.
Sure, I hope so.
Right? That sounds awesome. Except, of course, their crust is garbage. So, anyway, Domino's is not the bottom of the pack for me. For me, the bottom of the pack, especially in terms of feeling like a right-wing asshole, is Papa John's.
Oh, yeah. Well, Papa John's is the one that has the CEO that is very famously a big right-wing asshole.
Yeah, with stuff like, oh, I can't, if we raise the minimum wage, I won't supply health insurance to my employees.
Yeah, it's all the, oh, Obamacare, well, nope, can't have anyone working for me then.
That won't work. Six cheeses on this pizza, though, guys. So that's the right-wing stooge one for me.
Yeah. But no, there's nothing you can order from delivery pizza that's not going to make you feel like a fat bastard, especially if you order it by yourself.
Oh, God, yeah. Ordering a pizza by yourself is, that's the nadir.
Because, you know, you'd look at it and go, well, I guess, I mean, if I'm going to be paying a guy to deliver something to me, I don't want to just get like, here's a personal pizza. It cost me like $7 for this pizza and then $5 in delivery.
Where it's usually like $2 less than just getting the large, like the fuck you know you are.
Yeah.
So you just get that.
And you always tell yourself, well, look, I'm just going to only have a few slices. I'm going to put the rest of this away. That's going to be meals for the rest of the week. Nope.
That pizza's going to vanish.
Yeah.
You're going to look up at an empty box later, and not only are you going to feel bad that you ate the entire large pizza, but you're also going to wonder if there's any more pizza anywhere. Oh, you're going to check that box for cheese.
Yeah, and then you're going to be like, man, why didn't I get breadsticks?
Yeah, so that is a sad life. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's stop waxing autobiographical there.
Oh, boy. By the way, our pizza of choice when we record our Movie Mastery episodes, because you have to have a pizza to record those, is the Little Caesars Hot and Ready, because it's the pizza that tells you you hate yourself the most.
Yep. It's a pizza as bad as the movie you're watching.
It's exactly as bad as the movie you're watching. And by the end of the movie, the few pieces you have not yet eaten have switched from a hot and ready to a cold and distant.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. It's like, man, I've been married to this pizza for 10 years now. Am I right, gentlemen?
Oh, my God. Next question. I've been listening to your show on a recommendation from James D'Amato on one of the billion podcasts he's been on talking about gaming. Well, that's nice. Thanks, James. I've listened to all the archives and most of Movie Mastery as well. You make my bus rides far more entertaining than they should be, and I always enjoy the hot dog questions on Twitter. I've got two questions for you on Afterthought.
All right.
Okay. Number one, when I was a kid, before I ever cracked a player's handbook, I remember playing games of pretend with semi-coherent storylines, to the point that my first campaign world grew out of a game with my cousin and I where we played foam animals, Lego knights, and Happy Meal toys, wandering across a chessboard, intent on saving the world from an evil tiki doll wizard.
Man, that's rad as fuck. Right? I'm just going to come right out and say that.
That's awesome. I'd like to see that cartoon. It'd be kind of like the old like Homestar Runner side cartoon projects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, little A Steve.
That would be rad as hell.
Yeah. We took turns being the story or the party, and conflicts were resolved by either the rule of cool or the decibel resolution system, patent pending, until my grandma told us to stop screaming. So my question, did either of you guys make up or play any sort of proto-RPGs before you actually picked up the dice?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's the play-pretend stuff you do in the recess, but we had weird rules that we would do as well. So it was always superheroes for me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rules were you got to pick three and you got the powers of them. So you would pick three people and you go, okay, I've got Wolverine's powers, so I've got claws and the healing. I've got Cyclops' powers, so I've got the eye blasts. And then I'm going to take the power of like cannonball so I can fly. You're like, great, I'm rad. And then someone else would pick three. And the weird thing is it started off very normal. So it would be things like, oh, Wolverine and Cyclops, or someone's like, oh, I've got the powers of like Batman, which is basically just money. And you'd keep going, but the more we played, the more we would begin to get weird superpower cuts. Where at the end, we're just like, fuck you, I have the powers of Galactus and the Beyonder and the Living Tribunal, suck a dick.
Wow, so you were escalating?
Oh, yeah, we would begin escalating, and then we'd have to de-escalate again.
Ah, fair enough. You can't play as the following god-level characters.
Yeah, and so okay. It'd just go down, and then you'd have to find that nice in-between where you're like, I'm the Juggernaut now, meh.
I can tell you two stories here. When I was very little, when I was 6 or 7 years old, my mom says that she remembers me playing a game of Superman with my friends. We would run around claiming to be various Supermen. Like, we were all Superman. So we'd be like, I'm Superman. And then someone else would say, I'm Superman 2. And then someone else, I'm Superman 3, and so on. And my mother was convinced that it was that we were claiming we were Supermans from the various movies. Which I didn't even have the heart to tell her when she was telling me this, that I had never, at that point in my life, had never seen Superman 4. So I had no idea where she was getting that idea. I hadn't watched those Superman movies. I've never cared for them. But yeah, so that, I think we were just all wanted to be Superman, so we'd agreed to number ourselves so that we would know which one of us was which Superman. But that was very young, because my male friends, when I was a little kid, all moved away, leaving me on a street until I was about 12 or 13.
Yeah, just leaving you on the streets.
Well, yeah, basically leaving me on the suburban Torrance, LA, or Torrance, California streets.
The mean streets.
Yeah, the mean streets of Torrance, sure. With in my neighborhood, where it was me and like seven girls my age on that street. So all of the pretend games I played as a kid were complicated G.I. Joe Barbie interactions where we had these crazy ideas. It was all like proto sex play. So it was like little kid stuff where we were arguing over what bases were. It was always like, I think third base is when you lie down naked near each other, but you can't see each other. You just know that the other person is naked. Second base is touching over the shirt but under the bra somehow, and I think that also you kiss each other on the butt.
Yes, great.
Yeah, so that was mostly what my pre-role-playing game experiences were. When I moved out of that neighborhood, I was swept up into a Rifts game within like 10 minutes. Within like a hot 10 minutes of arriving in San Diego, someone was like, hey man, Rifts, do this now.
Hey man.
And I was like, okay. So that switched me from directly from the pretend play to actual role-playing games. And I never really had the making up your own rules thing.
Ah.
But I know a lot of shit about various fake bases. So if you need to know that. Yeah. I'm all up to speed on those. And you know what? I still am not 100% clear on the actual four bases of high school dating interaction.
No, I think they shift.
I think they rapidly shift, yeah. I'm still fairly convinced that second, though, involves getting under a bra somehow.
Somehow.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, someone puts you under a bra.
Yeah,
and you go to sleep.
On your head, and you're like, yeah, I'm under this bra.
Someone puts a bra over your eyes, and you think it's nighttime, and you fall asleep.
Okay. Second question. No, seriously, if your G.I. Joe handle was hot dog, what sort of uniform or accessories would you come with?
Hot dog? Obviously, I would come with...
probably a Rottweiler, I'm guessing? Like a G.I. Joe Rottweiler that has like laser goggles?
And a cool sports car.
Cool sports car. Perhaps,
and a flamethrower.
Perhaps a torpedo that's strapped to the back of a dog.
And, I don't know, probably some condiments.
Probably, yeah, and some condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, G.I. Joe ought to be prepared, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to be prepared.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I don't know, hot dog sounds like a flamethrower G.I. Joe to me.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, so
you
there
get
you
a flamethrower, you get a cool car, and you get a dog.
Yeah, cool car, dog, flamethrower. Perfect.
Perfect.
I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thanks, Lewis. You're welcome, Lewis. Let's see. Next questions come to us from Grant W., who says, Jeff and John, I'm terrible at coming up with clever personas, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions. I'm sorry.
You should be.
Apology accepted. You're fine. Thank you very much for the apology. Number one, what single piece of media that's not a tabletop RPG book has most influenced how you run or play tabletop games?
It's
going to be John's dimensional. Hey, let's do this in a fun way. I'm going to answer for you, and you do it for me, and we just have to abide by whatever the other person says.
Okay, great.
You ready? Okay.
Okay, here we go.
All right, for John, it's those celebrity roasts from the early 1970s.
Awesome.
It's all like those ones where it's like Ruth Buzzy just whacking away at like Sammy Davis Jr. with her purse, and she's like, fresh, and she's just like hitting him with them.
Oh my God, I love those so much.
And then when he was a kid, he was watching those on TV, like his commercials at night all the time. He was like, I want to own this entire Time Life collection. What if all my role-playing game characters just constantly whacked each other and insulted each other in dumb ways, and they never seemed to put down either their drink or their cigarette? So that's John's, right?
Yeah, awesome.
Am I on board with this?
Yeah.
Okay, and mine?
Okay, so you have obviously been most influenced by the works of Rembrandt. big, huge art fan.
Wait,
are
you sure it's not the works of Deep Blue Something? Or the Rembrandts?
No. Although that features in later.
Fair enough. Keep going.
I can remember the very first time that I ever met you outside of a standard social gathering. It was just the two of us. You wanted to meet in an art gallery wherein you met me, and you were staring longingly at a Rembrandt painting while listening to the Rembrandts.
Yeah, that's
true. I remember you looked at me, a tear slowly streaming down your face. It's so beautiful, you said. And then... We embraced.
We did. And I kept wondering why that lady had a monkey on a string at that park. So crazy. How do I get a monkey on a string? Come on.
Right?
Oh, early England. How do you do what you do?
And there you go.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Rembrandt, who I cannot remember.
Also Rembrandt painting. Brown from Sliders.
Oh, very
nice. I had to mention Sliders. I don't care.
I got to get it back in there. Okay. You want to give real answers real fast? For John, it's always dimensional hopping shit.
Oh, yeah. It's my biggest influence mostly was the first comics I ever got were What Ifs from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of the one shot was very ingrained in my head from a very young age. The idea of a story that's just self-contained that might use bits and pieces of established continuity but does its own thing and doesn't worry about how it's going to influence anything else. That being the very first types of comics I read, I was very much into the short contained story.
Yeah.
So the one shots and the interesting consequences and stuff like that, all that was definitely influenced by What Ifs.
Right. In my case, when I was a little kid, I had a family that had been living in Belgium for quite a long time. And so when they came back to the United States, they brought a lot of comics with them, very specific Belgian comics. So a lot of those informed my sense of how to tell a story and my ideas for what would be cool adventures that no one else had ever seen before. So a lot of Asterix, a lot of Lucky Luke, a lot of Tintin, and a lot of my personal favorite, a space adventure comic called Valerian, which is really, really interesting. It's kind of like a lighthearted 60s spy space sex romp thing. Really cool.
Neat.
Recently, I think Luc Besson signed on to do a Valerian movie, so I'm really looking forward to that. So a lot of my early storytelling influences came from Valerian, from Lucky Luke, and from Tintin, and I'm still a huge fan of that kind of stuff.
All right.
There you go. Let's see. If you became stupidly, excessively wealthy, what ridiculous hobby would you take up to demonstrate your wealth? Ooh, good question.
That's weird.
Going to Top Dog instead of conventions.
Yeah, that's my hobby.
Yeah, that's my new hobby. Promising the fans that we'd show up at conventions, but instead live tweeting from Top Dog.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to get that to the point where whenever we announce we go to a convention, people plan to go to Top Dog and find us there.
Hey, guys, I just wanted you to know we're going to a convention. It's going to be in Seattle, and then everyone just shows up at Top Dog.
Top Dog in Berkeley with little tiny System Mastery flags. By the way, little tiny System Mastery flags now for sale in the System Mastery store.
Now available.
Okay, next question. Let's flip the what IP should be an RPG question around a bit. What RPG setting would you turn into a video game, and what style of game would it be?
I mean, it's always Rifts. It's going to be Rifts forever because they made one shitty game and it shouldn't have been on the N-Gage, and by God, I want an actual Rifts game.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with Numenon Bugs in Time.
Good.
Which is going to be a side-scrolling beat-em-up game where you play as four different bugs with four different ninja weapons, and they have to roam around and beat up mutants and weird metaphor monsters and like giant sky bats like throughout a giant house, and eventually they have to leave the house and defeat Shredder in the Technodrome.
Yeah. Good.
So that's mine.
That sounds good.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, let's see. Next question. John, why? Why did you do that? What the heck, man?
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
Okay. If money were no object, how exactly how awesome would your funeral be?
Pretty bad.
I don't really care.
No, I think it would, I mean, I guess if I had a whole bunch of money, then it would all end up going to the people that were doing my funeral, so it'd be up to them. Like, I don't really have anything that's like, oh, when I die, I'd need a circus.
Okay, here's my idea for how my funeral would go if I had enough money to support everybody who I like and then also had some leftover for a funeral. It would be one of those old-fashioned party whodunit games. Like,
man, you just really went like old-fashioned.
I don't know why, man. I'm very stuttery tonight. I really do think I needed to take a week. Let me just recenter real quick.
Okay. Find it. Find it. Walk up and down the San Diego Zoo.
Okay, here we go. If I had a funeral and I had plenty of money to spend on it, what I would do? Okay, here's my idea. I'd have a Murder on the Orient Express style funeral
where everyone gets murdered on the Orient Express.
No, no, no. It'd be just like one of those old party games, like one of those box set party games where you're supposed to like find out who the murderer is and so on.
Okay, but do I get to be Mr. Data?
I don't care who you are. I'm dead. Sweet. In this sequence. So you totally can be Mr. Data. But at the beginning of the evening, I want my corpse to be propped up at one of the dinner seats. Like, it's just no big deal. Like, I'm just there in a suit and it's not a problem. And when they finally do the thing where they flip the light switch off, the person next to me who's a plant just shoves me out of my chair on the floor. So when the lights come back on, they go, oh my God, he's dead.
Excellent.
That's what I want to be. I want to be a prop in a murder mystery LARP.
Great. And I'll just be a prop in Weekend at Bernie's 4.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to be a better dancer when you're dead.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be more willing to dance when I'm dead.
Thanks for all the wonderful shows. Listening to you guys has become a weekly event for my wife and I. Keep it up, and thanks again, Grant W. You're welcome, Grant. You've been one of our fans for a very long time. We're hugely appreciative. We're always happy to hear from you. Okay, next question from Mikhail Cheesetov. Mikhail Cheesetov.
Mikhail.
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 Mikhail! Oh, sorry, it's pronounced Larry.
Oh, okay, there we go.
I was just clearing my throat. Yeah. So, Larry Cheesetov says, why shouldn't I turn around when Der Commissar is in town? If he's right behind me, maybe, but just in town? What the hell?
Hey, man, don't do it.
Just don't turn around. No U-turns when Der Commissar is in town.
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying, like, you can't physically turn around. That'd be weird.
Yeah. It's not up to us.
Just don't U-turn.
Yeah, no U-turns when Der Commissar's in town.
Yeah.
Just indicated left turn lanes, and also no rights on red when Der Commissar's in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. No problem. It's not up to us. It's not like we made up the rules of Der Commissar.
No, he's Der Commissar.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with System Mastery or Cheese Dudes or anything like that.
No, there definitely isn't a giant conspiracy that has to do with us.
No, no, God, no, not at all. In fact, we are not definitely podcasting this from a secret remote bunker owned and built by Der Commissar underneath the Denver airport.
Definitely not.
Nope. Neither are we lizard people.
For sure.
Also, chemtrails? Just contrails. Don't even worry about it. Quit talking about it.
Yeah, and we don't have big old glasses of fluoride right now. Just drinking them down.
Just glasses of fluoride. One big round ice cube in each one.
I prefer the stones so that it doesn't dilute my fluoride.
I feel like fluoride isn't even a liquid when it's by itself. It's just drinking down white powder.
We get gummy fluoride. I like the pineapple fluoride.
Gross. All right. Too many futurist settings use credits as a form of currency, but who would ever name a currency the credit? It would be really confusing. I'm partial to chits or scrip or even units. But do you have any better suggestions?
Dollar.
The dollar. The almighty dollar. How about the Bitcoin?
Yeah, the bit.
The Dogecoin.
There we go. It's going to be the Dogecoin.
The Dogecoin. Or I'm also going to go with blinking future teeth.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Snoop Dogg GIFs.
Snoop Dogg. All right, look, in the far future, you're going to pay for your guns and services with rare Pepes.
That's it. The rarest of Pepes.
If you have a common Pepe, I mean, it might buy you enough to sleep for the night or like a loaf of bread or something. But if you want a laser blaster, that's a very rare Pepe.
Oh, yeah. You better get the rarest Pepe you can find.
And you know, don't send us your Pepes. Hoard them for yourselves.
The oncoming apocalypse.
You're going to need those Pepes.
Look, we definitely don't have future advanced knowledge of an oncoming apocalypse in our bunker. We're just saying... Get some rare Pepes.
We also are definitely not hoarding rare Pepes so as to control the market after the apocalypse comes.
Definitely not.
Nope, these things aren't happening. Okay, by the way, that was question one. Question B, this is question three, lowercase I's. Best and worst things at a Chinese buffet.
Okay, so best things at the Chinese buffet. Definitely.
The ladies.
Hey, no. Let's see. Probably going to go ahead and say just orange chicken. You really can't go wrong with the orange chicken anywhere.
No, orange chicken usually is hard to screw up. I'm a big fan of Kung Pao chicken myself. I like things a lot spicier than John does.
Oh, yeah, it's because I'm a huge baby.
Midwestern-style hot dish loving.
Oh, yeah. You give me some of that, like, tuna casserole with about a half pound of mayonnaise in there. Ooh, boy.
Whole thing just studded through with uncooked bricks of Velveeta that were stuffed into it.
Oh, the way, man, you are giving away the family recipe here.
Yeah, so, oh, God, yeah. Oh, by the way, let's see, he also has a hard mode for that question. In the hard mode, because he also went 1B, three little eyes. It's two of those symbols that I think are used to indicate, they look like a plus sign stacked on top of another plus sign. I think they're used to indicate that the following time is from an area where time zone daylight savings doesn't exist. I think. I'm not 100% sure on the meaning of that symbol. Please, people who know every symbol in the world, correct me.
Please.
I can't wait to hear that.
There's nothing we love more than being corrected.
Nothing. What's actually, I really kind of do like
it. Yeah, it's great.
It's really fun. I love to hear from the fans. Okay, don't pick the random American foods for little kids like French fries and chicken fingers. Oh, that was an option? Fuck.
No, I would never pick that.
Yeah, Chinese food is good.
Yeah, no, the worst thing, though, is generally anything with fish because I hate fish.
Yeah, he doesn't like fish, and I don't like eggs, so it's always going to be that extremely crusted up thing of egg drop soup that they always have.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, man, that thing's always got so much edge crust.
Yeah, you got to get that edge crust in there.
It's flowing out.
Yeah, that's how you know you're watching a good U2 concert. You got a lot of that edge crust.
Oh, if Edge has a lot of crust on him, then
edge crust in the morning, then you too is
edge crust in the
scoring.
Evening. Edge crust at supper time.
Well,
thank you very much, Larry Cheesetov. All right, next question comes to us from
me,
Ted Cheddar, and he says, "What is the best way to represent sex mechanically in a game?" Well, let me start by saying, why are you representing mechanical sex?
Well, yeah,
don't you
want
to say
a missionary,
little
probably.
Yeah. I mean, just for mechanicals. If you're just all about the procreation, then get out that baby Jesus sheet with the hole in it and just go to some missionary-style work. But if you don't want to represent mechanical sex, if you want to be a human and really express your emotions in a role-playing game and get in there and maybe work a pinky up into the butthole, you know?
Get a real doll.
That's perfect. Oh my god, that'd be an amazing way to do sex in a game.
Like, you're like, oh, really?
Your characters earn sex with a bar wench. Look, here's Catherine May. Pull out a real doll from under the table. Go to work, Tom.
No, it'd be those people who are like, oh yeah, well, at our table, if you're going to try and convince someone of something, we don't have you roll dice. We role play it out. Same thing with sex. Look, if you want to do it, you're going to have to do it right there in front of God and everyone.
One of those gross real dolls that always have two first names. That's a weird thing with the real dolls. They're always named things like Catherine Veronica.
That's weird.
It is
I did
weird.
Not know that.
Yeah, you know, it's totally a thing. So, anyway, that I love the idea that you just had there of using a real doll to represent sex in your
game. Yeah, that's the mechanic.
You know what? Trying to represent sex in a game is already usually pretty gross and stupid. Might as well just go the extra mile.
Yep.
Let's see. He probably goes further in here. No, that's all. Do we have a real answer for that? I just don't, generally.
No, usually
I'm a big fan of the draw the curtains and fade to black.
Yeah, it's just a fade to black. You're like, and then you porked.
And then they porked some.
And then a great porkening was upon them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
I mean, there are games where it's part of the rules. You know, there's the sex moves in Apocalypse World and Monster Hearts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, are kind of neat. And they are
working on my sex moves.
Oh man, the big famous John sex moves, like apologize,
cry deeply,
let her do it,
move the pizza out of the way.
No, you move around a little.
Ah. Yes.
Okay, next question. Should I have pancakes for breakfast today? Please answer quickly, since I'm hungry now.
Probably.
Yes. Well, I don't know, are you doing anything else today?
Did you have anything you wanted to get done?
If
or did you want a real big, heavy breakfast?
If you're like us, the answer is always no. Not doing anything else today. Don't want to do anything else today. That's the right frame of mind for pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes. Just a big old bucket of starch in you.
Yeah. Pancakes. Eat these, fall asleep, wake up at 4, get mad at yourself. Brought to you by the Pancake Council.
Did you want some big flat biscuits that you put sugar on? Pancakes.
Did you want to eat a cake today, but at 11 in the morning and actually make it 4 cakes? Pancakes. What is the perfect crime?
The perfect crime?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say stealing from yourself.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Where you don't remember you did it.
Shooting Hitler with an ice bullet. Then they can never figure out who it is because the evidence melted.
Yeah.
And it was still technically illegal in Germany to shoot Hitler.
still technically illegal to shoot Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, that was a loophole. It was legal to shoot other people, Hitler, that was the thing.
Well, do you think there's a law in the California books that's like, well, it's not legal to shoot people unless they're Hitler back from the dead. Then it's okay.
Then it is all right. That is our stand your ground against Hitler law.
That's why there's so many people in California with guns.
You know, I saw the whole, like, shoot someone with an icicle thing on an episode of MacGyver when I was young, and I was convinced that that was the most brilliant thing I had ever seen for, like, years. I just kept going, no, but, like, they'd never find anything.
No, they would. They'd find the water and be like, this guy was stabbed with an icicle.
Yeah, but they'd never know it was you. There's no prints on that icicle.
It's the icicle stabbing killer. He lives at 123 Anytown, USA Boulevard, Fake Street.
I shouldn't have changed my name to Icicle Killer.
That was your first mistake.
I really wanted to get into the rap game.
Yeah, Icicle Killer is a really good name for the rap game.
Right?
Or if Gary Busey was in the rap game. I'm Icicle Killer. What's some other good podcasts to listen to?
Well, I hear Movie Mastery is pretty good.
Yeah, Movie Mastery is really solid. There's also some bonus content on the Patreon that's certainly worth it. Generally speaking, I don't like to represent or reference the podcasts I actually listen to because I don't want you all to know how many jokes I steal per minute.
The answer is a lot.
The answer
is steals a lot.
Almost, unless I say something stupid, which is 90% of why I'm good on this show, you can trust I'm stealing bits from somewhere. I'm kidding. I'm a huge fan of movie review podcasts. It's what inspired me to do this show in the very first place way back 3 years ago. So I'm a big fan of Movie Master, of course, duh. But also The Flophouse, We Hate Movies, a lesser extent. I like How Did This Get Made, although I found them a little shouty. I also really, really like Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm a huge fan of the One Shot and Campaign podcast. They're good friends of the show, and we like them a lot.
Yeah, and I don't like podcasts. Anyone who listens to them are idiots and should probably go away.
Crank the Patreon up and then just quit and don't listen anymore.
Yep.
Forget you did that.
That's all we want.
Years at a time. It's like a gym membership.
You just pay and then you feel guilty about getting rid of it. You're like,
I'll go this weekend, I swear.
No, but like that, I'll get around to it. I'll do it.
That has to be the next thing for us, is if you want to cancel your Patreon, you have to call us and explain why.
You got to come in.
But what if I told you that by staying with the Patreon, we'd go to a convention for an hour and then fuck off? Would that change your mind? Let me escalate you to my manager. It's me again, but I'm wearing a fake mustache.
A real fake mustache.
A real fake mustache for real boys. Thanks, Ted Cheddar. Those are your awesome questions. Okay, here we go. I think we'll probably make this one the last one today.
Aw.
Well, maybe we'll make one more. Who knows? Hello, John and Jeff. You guys make commuting so much easier. What premises or genres have you never seen tackled by a role-playing game, but would really like to, and what kind of systems would be good for them? Pope, guilty.
I have seen basically everything as a role-playing game.
Yeah, we've really kind of hit a point now where...
just anything.
We made up Cheese Dudes as a fake restaurant, and someone sent us a role-playing game of it, where you play as the titular Cheese Dudes working in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Like, nowadays, especially with all of the generic games that you can do that will just cover any kind of premise, and then just the ease with which anyone can do self-publishing nowadays. If you want to just make up your own RPG and, like, put it on Amazon, great. You can do that immediately.
Yeah. So that's become a rarefied air. I mean, especially for us. This is a tough question for us because all we do all day, every day, is read role-playing games and try to find weird ones.
Yeah. At this point, it takes some really weird stuff for us to be like, huh, wow, that is new.
Yeah, I would like to see one based on futuristic pizza delivery. I think John and I have talked a couple of times about our idea for a role-playing game where you play as pizza boys or pizza delivery men, and you receive your instructions to deliver a pizza, and it says the pizza needs to be delivered to 33 Burke Street 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's time-traveling pizza delivery, the ultra-adventure role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, evil time pizza bandits who try to steal pizza from you in time, like when you're traveling through it. And, like,
you know.
You're trying rival pizza companies.
Like in real life.
Yeah. Rival pizza companies divert you so that you go to the wrong times and places in history and have to explain your way out of problems with nothing but a hat, or a hat, a pizza, and a car that has a plastic shark fin on top of it. So I think that's the thing is, I don't really feel like that's a genre that's missing. It's not like time traveling pizza man is a thing that anyone else has really mentioned to us before. So we invented a genre to answer your question.
There you go.
Thank you. All right. Did you want to do one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
This says, yes, I return with a mix of RPG and non-RPG questions from the land of Aang. Number one, is Rice-A-Roni truly the San Francisco treat? And will Cheese Dudes be making any exclusive brand deals with them in the future?
No.
No.
And no.
The real San Francisco treat is to fuck slightly off to Berkeley and eat at Top Dog, a hot dog restaurant there that is great.
Yeah, the San Francisco treat is avoiding San Francisco. What a treat.
We were in the Bay Area for like 3 days, and I think we were in San Francisco for 3 minutes, as long as it took for us to drive from San Jose to Berkeley by going into San Francisco to catch a bridge. San Francisco has changed, man.
It's changed. It's not the city I fell in love with.
It really isn't. Oakland is the city I fell in love with when I fell in love with San Francisco now.
Why?
There's gay, cool people there. There's awesome restaurants. It's what I missed. Until Oakland gets a big-ass Chinatown, it isn't perfect yet, but it will be someday.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, and will Cheese Dudes be making any exclusive brand deals with them in the future? No, because Cheese Dudes is kind of an original entity, you know, man. It doesn't really... We don't partner.
No, this isn't Munchkin. We're not slapping the name on anything.
God damn. That's meaner than I meant. I was trying to say we're more like a Trader Joe's where everything's a house brand.
No, I'm just saying that Munchkin is some crap.
Munchkin is some crap.
Anytime I can bag on Munchkin, I will take it.
Munchkin's like the kudzu of role-playing game stores. It's like you turn away for a second, and when you turn back, all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, Munchkin Hellboy.
Ah,
crap.
Stop it.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Oh, Munchkin, this bathroom. Ah!
What? Who? What? No. Okay. If Tim Curry was actually a curry, how hot would he be?
So hot.
Oh, so hot. I don't know. Do you have to look at the curry, or can you just listen to its ridiculously sexy voice? Oh, stop eating my sesame cake. I know he doesn't say that, but it's one of my favorite lines said in proximity to him. Okay, if a person was making their own campaign setting, like Eberron, with some mechanical changes, what would you say is the best place to start from, and how much would that person need before they could start DMing in it?
I don't know. Dollars?
Dollars? What?
What?
You've lost. I thought you wanted to answer one more question.
No, I'm done. I've got a cat here.
He's just lost interest entirely.
Yeah, this cat started licking my hand, and I don't know what happened after that. I've got some sort of cat-based amnesia.
Damn it, Podcat 2.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of doing a little bit of setting notes so that you know like the basic names of continents and so on, and you can answer questions, but being fairly freeform in it. Like, we've been building our Blimp Lakers universe for forever now, and all we do is just sort of hash out what the way the various races work and what have you. But I could run a game in it whenever, because if I make stuff up during the game, what are people going to do? Doubt me?
Yeah, definitely decaf.
John, come on. You got to help me out here. This is our good fan, Gherkin Man. He's a regular contributor.
He's a man. He's a Gherkin Man.
Oh, well, I'm sure he's enjoying this just as much.
Yeah, I'm sure that he loves that I'm not paying attention to his question.
The answer is 7.
Yeah. Hey, come on. The answer is there's this rad cat here.
Oh, Podcat 2. Everyone loves you. By the way, everyone, don't freak out. Podcat 1 is alive and well and in the other room. Podcat 2 managed to get in here before we closed the door, so she's been causing mayhem the whole episode.
Yeah, just jumping on tables, being real crazy, slap me in the face.
Yeah. So she's a great cat. All right, so there you go. That's been our review of my cat, Bear, also known as Podcat 2. If you would like to hear more about Bearcat or the other cat, or if you'd like to ask us more questions that John won't answer.
I love those questions. Questions I don't answer are my favorite questions.
Questions I don't answer is my favorite David Sedaris book.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Well played. That was a nice one.
And people say I only read role-playing games.
Oh, how droll.
All right. So thanks so much for listening to Afterthought. John, you did the intro.
Yeah, I did.
Go ahead. Take us home.
All right. So you can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com. You can ask us some questions at SystemMastery@gmail.com. You can ask us on the Twitters. And when you do, go ahead and at us and then use the hashtag Afterthought. That way we can find it and don't just forget about it immediately.
Yeah, it'll take us like a week to forget about it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can also send us messages on Facebook where you can find us as System Mastery, and go ahead and send us questions there or ask us questions on the actual page. We probably won't look at that either. We're terrible. We're real bad at our jobs.
Well, no, we're good at our jobs. We're bad at our hobby.
No, I'm bad at everything.
Oh.
I'm real bad at everything but petting this cat.
So anyway, that's been a late episode of the Afterthought. Sorry about that. We were both deadly asleep. And we thought, I don't know why we thought we were going to record an episode of Afterthought in San Jose.
I don't know. We also thought we were going to go do something at a convention.
We thought, I mean, we didn't do either of those things, and we still had a very full, rich schedule.
Oh, yes. Like a full, rich, meaty stew.
Well, originally, I think I didn't expect your friends to be in town at all. And I think that changed our plans a lot.
That's weird. Why would you expect that?
Because you told me they weren't going to be in town. You thought they were all going to be at some other convention, which I assume they were planning to fuck off from.
Yeah. That's what happened, is they fucked off from that convention, and then, and then shenanigans ensued.
Fair enough. So, big thanks to all of our listeners. You can find us on the Patreon, support us there, find our shirts for sale at TeePublic, who gives a shit. And we'll see you in a very short span of time for Riffs Episode 2, A Darkening Storm.
A big, dark.
Darkening, a derp dark.
It's Debbie Doobie Day.
The coming of the thing.
The stuff, and here it goes.
The dude and catastrophe.
The roundabout's way, and here it comes.
There used to be a whale that loved the radio.
It's your old pal, Stinky Whistleteats, here.
Christ, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. Good night.